our pastor, Brother Chick.
Amen. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I looked at the church bulletin today, and I saw the message was TBA. I looked all over my office for that title of that message, and I couldn't find it. And I found out I was supposed to be preaching it tonight, too, so I don't know what that is, but they tell me it's to be announced. So I'm announcing it right now. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. And the title of my message this morning is They That Oppose Themselves. They That Oppose Themselves. Let's start reading verse 19. Nevertheless. Is that what your Bible says? Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Iniquity here is sin. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If any man purge himself from these, now these, if you want to circle that word these and draw a line back up into iniquity, if we'll purge ourselves from sin, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that are called on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach patience. The Bible says, in meekness is instructing those that oppose themselves, if God preventure will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Father, now be with us as we open the word of life. Help us to be able to understand the battles that we are raging against. Lord, the power of Satan and his determination not to let anyone go to heaven. But Father, you are God of all. Help us to be able to preach the word that you've given us. Let our understanding be clear. Lord, that if there be one, even one here today without Jesus, that today they'll gladly receive him as their personal Savior. And then as we look to us, those that are saved, Lord, help us not to oppose ourselves, but give ourselves freely unto you. In Christ's name I pray, amen. You may be seated. We are doing a heart campaign because we want spiritual growth. That's a desire of this church from the very beginning, is spiritual growth. As I was telling the young crusader class this morning, when you find yourself growing spiritually, you'll find yourself growing in numbers also. Because with that spiritual growth, there's going to be an uncontrollable desire to see others outside of Jesus come to know Him as their personal Savior. Now, those that we can go to sometimes don't understand it, but they can oppose themselves. The Bible tells us this in this verse 25, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. We ask, and maybe just a simple question, but how? Well, we know that those people outside of Jesus Christ don't know the true happiness and goodness when Jesus comes in. Amen? Before I was saved, I didn't understand the goodness of God. Before I let Jesus Christ come into my heart, I didn't understand the joy I could have in my heart. I was lucky I had parents that brought me to church from the time I was born. But not until I let Jesus come into my heart did I understand the joy of heaven. Some of you waited till later on in life. And all of you that waited later on in life to accept Jesus, not one of you have not said this. I wished I would have let Jesus come into my heart sooner. Oh, the joy that comes to my soul. Oh, the gladness in my heart to know that I am in His hand. I'm in His safety. I am going to be with Him one day. Well, a sinner opposes himself sometimes, or herself. You know, sometimes as sinners, they don't understand that they need to surrender their will to Jesus' will. You know, you think it'd be easy for anybody to let Jesus Christ come into their heart. I mean, God loved us. Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. The gift of salvation is free. It doesn't cost us anything. But there was a cost. Let me remind you, there was a cost. Jesus paid the price on the cruel cross. Amen. What a wonderful thing he did to save the soul from loss. Oh, there was a payment for it. But for those outside of Jesus, do they understand it is a gift? A gift of God that brings about eternal life? So what would be so hard to surrender their will unto Christ's will? I know this is God the Father's desire for mankind. If you'll join me in the book of John chapter 6, just quickly. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John chapter 6. Jesus Christ tells us God's will. Now, if anybody who knows God's will, it would be Jesus. Amen? Jesus said in his lifetime, I always do the will of my Father. I always do what God asked me to do, my Father asked me to do. So if anybody would know the will of God the Father, it would be he. So the Bible says in this book of John chapter 6 verse 39, and this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So what is the will of God? The will of God is that all of mankind come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That all mankind will look to Christ Jesus and say, I need him as my Savior. You know, as I said before, it's not hard to let Jesus Christ come into your heart. Megan, and it's your birthday today also, I found out. Well, bless your heart. Happy birthday to you. It's not hard. It's not hard to let the Lord Jesus come into your heart. But you know what's hard sometimes? Is the surrendering of our will. It's saying, Lord, I know I'm nothing. I'm not bringing you anything worth of value. But your soul is valuable to God. Amen. So valuable, he left heaven. He lived a perfect life, died on the cruel cross, was buried and rose again the third day. But God, here I am, what I am. I want to give myself to you. I want you to be my Savior, you see. We got to surrender our will to Christ. Another thing I think about, what keeps somebody in the lost condition is the desires of their sin being more important to them than the saving atonement of Christ. I myself cannot think of something that I have in my life that should be more important to God. I just can't think of it. What sin do we have in our life that is so important to us that we're not willing to give it up for God? Amen? Now, I love Pepsi. I don't drink Coke. Coca-Cola's not bad, it's good. We put it in our laundry, take out oil and everything else, put it on our car batteries. Fix a car battery right up. No, I'm not teasing. Now come on. I'm not teasing. You say you're supposed to say I'm teasing. I'm not teasing. But I like Pepsi Cola. I really do. Man, I can drink a 2-liter bottle of Pepsi Cola at breakfast. I like it so much. But you know what? I'm not going to let Pepsi Cola stand in the way of me going to heaven. You say, well, that's sort of a ridiculous example. But you know what? I can't think of an example of anything in my life as far as sin that I'd want to hold on to more than the atonement saving power of Jesus Christ. I just can't think of it. But you know, there are some folks that love sin so much, they say, well, I don't want to give this up. And if I let Jesus come into my heart, that I would just have to give this lifestyle up or this sin up. And I don't want to do that. My friends, there's not one sin that's going to bring you enough pleasure to bring you happiness in hell or the lake of fire. There's just not one sin. We see just examples after examples of people desiring their sin more than the saving atonement of Christ. In the book of Acts, chapter 24, turn with me. There's this man named Felix, and he's a judge. And Paul is standing before Felix in this book of Acts, chapter 24. And what Paul has done is Paul has presented him the pure demonstration of the salvation of Jesus Christ and how Jesus wants to save him and God wants to forgive him. And it comes to the time of decision. And any time that you present somebody the Word of God, there comes a time of decision. What are you going to do with Christ now? I love to witness to folks. I love to tell them about our great God because we have a great God. I love to tell them about the love of God because there's nobody that loves like our God. And I love showing them through the Word of God what God did for them so they could have eternal life. But I like to bring them to that point. Now, what are you going to do with Christ? Would you accept Him as your personal Savior right now? Would you let Him come and wash your sin away? Will you become a new creation in Jesus and know that you have life eternal with God? Most of the time, I like the answer that I get. You know, I do want Jesus to save me. I do want forgiveness of my sin. I need a Savior. And I'll willfully accept Him as my personal Savior. And we'll listen and explain to Him the prayer. And they'll pray to their God. And God washes their sins away. But there are those few occasions. As I'm talking to folks, they'll say, you know, I like what you're telling me. I believe it's true. But Georgie, they'll say, you know what? I think I'll just wait for a little longer. You know, I just won't accept Jesus Christ today. Now, one day, I will accept Christ, but I just don't want to do it today. And I ask Him, what is keeping you from accepting Jesus Christ as Savior today? I've had some people say, well, it's my wife, or it's my husband, or I've got things I want to do with my kids. Or I've got a project at work, and I've got this going on, and I've got that going on, and I just don't want to do it today. My friends, as I said before, there's nothing more important to you today than your life is secured in the hands of God the Father, God the Son, and sealed by God the Holy Spirit. That is the most important thing. You say, oh, I've got college to pay for. That's nothing. Your soul in heaven's what's important. But I can do that anytime. Oh, you can? Do you know for a fact that you're even going to be here tomorrow? The book of James tells us our life is as a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. What we do, we need to do with Christ today. Amen? That's what the Bible tells us. But old Felix, he had trouble. In Acts chapter 24, verse 25, the Bible says this, and as he reasoned of righteousness, Paul was reasoning with him with righteousness and temperance and judgment to come. Folks, if you don't accept Jesus Christ, there is a judgment to come. In one of these little talk shows, they were interviewing they call them mediums. This lady, she is a medium. I thought she was an extra large, but no, she was a medium. And she said, these ghosts hang around, and some of them are so bad, they don't want to go over to the other side because they're afraid of the judgment. Let me tell you something. The Bible teaches to be absent from the body for the Christian is to be present with the Lord. There's no hanging around. For the lost man, the Bible shows us in the book of Luke, and in hell they lifted up their eyes being in torment. And she said, I told that ghost, you go ahead because over on the other side there is no judgment. It's just love and peace. My Bible says there's judgment for the Christian and the lost. He says, he told him of the judgment to come. Felix trembled. The Word of God does that to a soul. It makes you tremble.
I remember a lady here, her husband's here today, and she's not here today, but she said the first time I came to church, this was several years ago, so I was filling in for our pastor. She said, "You preached on hell." I just did that a couple weeks ago, didn't I? She said, "I was so scared when I left this place. I said, I'll never come back to that church." We went out to visit her that Tuesday night, and that Tuesday night she let Jesus come into her heart. My friends, I want people to be afraid when we start talking about hell, because that is reality, amen? He said, "Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee.'" Lost folks are still saying that today. "Boy, what you say is true and I see it, but go away. Get away from me. When I have a more convenient season, when everything's just done that I want to do, then I'll let Jesus Christ come into my heart." When I was younger, I heard the story about Buddy Holly. How he was a teenager that God had called to preach. Yet he wanted to go do his thing. He says, "God, after I get through doing my thing, then I will give you my time." He sang his last song. He told his people, "I'll see you next year." But in his heart, the parents, as I understood it, said he was coming home and he was going to do things for God now. Guess what? Buddy Holly never got home. What we do for Christ, we got to do today. Why, God's given us the ability, amen? You say, "But that doesn't happen all the time." It happens more than you'll ever dream. Accept Christ today. Boy, more convenient time. The lost, they want to crave things of the flesh, and they want to make sure the flesh needs met. I tell you what, my friends, if you're worried about your old flesh, it will never be satisfied. It's always going to crave something. It's always going to want something. But what you need is you need your soul's need met. Maybe that which you think you need so bad on the outside is your soul screaming on the inside, "I need God." Because without God, you'll never find satisfaction. I love Snickers, so let's put it on the list. I love Pepsi and I love Snickers. Snickers says Snickers satisfies. That's a lie. After I eat a Snickers, you know what I want? I want another Snickers. And I prefer them frozen. Why? I don't know. My wife just threw some in the freezer to hide them from me. I found out I like them frozen. My dentist loved me to eat frozen Snickers. Breaks your teeth. But your flesh will never be satisfied until your soul is satisfied. There are those outside of Christ that always worries about what He will have to give us. What He'll have to give up. "Oh, if I get saved, then I'll need to give this up, and I'll need to give this up, and I'll need to give this up." But in reality, they don't think far enough. They never stop to think, what am I going to receive from God? Amen? Some of the things that I've had to give up, you know what? I found out I really didn't need them anyway. Amen? I didn't need them. I didn't really want them. It's just that they were there. But I tell you something, when Jesus came into my heart, I received a whole lot more than I've ever given up. Let me tell you something about that. Let's turn to the book of Mark, chapter 8. Mark, chapter 8. Matthew, Mark, chapter 8. In verse 36, it says this, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world?" In Mark chapter 8, verse 36, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? For what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?"
I've been around some wealthy people. Now, they're not extremely wealthy. I mean, there's a lot more people wealthy. And I don't get in the wealthy class very often or in the presence of wealth very often. I think they would want me in their presence more often, you know, out of pity, but they don't. But I think of the wealth of the world. We see people playing games for $35 million. I tell you what, to be able to play a game and earn $35 million, whoo, have mercy, what was somebody thinking? Baseball, basketball, football. They have many homes and many cars. They have helicopters. That would be cool now. Have a helicopter. One of those great big ones, you know, like the Coast Guard has, and go flying wherever you want to go. That'd be pretty neat. Some even have these big old jets. Now, that would be pretty neat too, wouldn't it? Some people have money that, man, they could lose $200-$300 and not even blink an eye. I lose a $10 bill and we're tearing our house apart trying to find that stupid $10 bill. Amen? But let's say that you could gain the riches of the whole world. All of it. All the gold, silver, platinum. Everything. All the land. Everything that comes about. All the animals. All the cattle. You owned everything. You own the milk company. And please, if you own a milk company, get rid of that watered down stuff and just make plain old milk, amen? And throw chocolate in it to boot. But you have the whole world. And you could do anything you wanted at any time. What's that going to do for you in eternity? How is that going to help you in heaven? How is that going to help you in hell? Bible talks about a rich man that went to hell, amen? And the only time he's getting out of hell is to go to the lake of fire. My friends, it's not what we have to give up. God wants us to come to Him like we are, amen? The things we give up, He'll help us after we get saved. But if I find that I have to give up something after I let Jesus come into my heart, I find it's not needful for me today under any conditions. Today we need to let Jesus come into our heart. And then the Christians that oppose themselves. You know, Christians can oppose themselves and not even be aware of the fact that they're opposing themselves. You say, well, how can we oppose ourselves? Well, through selfishness. Laying up treasures more on this earth than laying up treasures in heaven. My friend, there's nothing wrong with a big bank account. There's nothing wrong with fine houses and fine cars and fine clothes, fine education. But my friends, that's only for a limited time. What I want to know as Christians, what are you doing about putting up treasures in heaven? Who are you witnessing to? Who are you loving to Christ Jesus? Who are you encouraging to come to Sunday school on Sunday morning? Staying for church, coming back Sunday night, coming to Tuesday night visitation, coming to Wednesday night prayer meeting, and Thursday nights when we have our special studies. Who are you encouraging? Well, nobody, because I'm busy trying to make a lifestyle for me. My friends, there's no better lifestyle than to give somebody Jesus Christ. You know, in our selfishness, we only think of ourselves. I think about in the book of Isaiah, chapter 56, verse 11. The whole theme of this chapter is the unfaithful watchmen of Israel. They're more concerned with their slumber. They're more concerned with their comfortable lifestyle.
while others are perishing. My friends, let us never get comfortable about somebody leaving this life without Jesus. Never let us get comfortable with the people that we work with during the day or we go to school with that aren't ready for heaven. Let us never get comfortable with that thought. We don't want to be that selfish. I think about the selfishness of Ananias and Sapphira. Now theirs was money. They made a promise to God and they didn't keep it. And a fool makes a promise to God and not keep it. Amen? But the only reason they made that promise is they saw somebody else do it. And he got such a good response, they thought, well, we'll get some praise for it too. And their heart wasn't in it. All they were doing is looking out for themselves. God didn't tell them to do what they proposed in their heart to do. God didn't say, I wanted you to do this. A preacher didn't say, this is what I want you to do. This is something they came up with themselves. But Peter said, why did you lie to the Holy Spirit? They took the man out dead, amen? They took the wife out dead, amen? Why? Because of selfishness. We can impose ourselves in laziness. The book of James chapter 3 verse 22 tells us not to just be hearers of God's word, but to be doers of God's word. Some of you know every story in this blessed book right here. Some of you know more scriptures than we have time to let you talk today. You might know all things and you might be able to quote a lot of scriptures, but let me ask you something. Are you doing this book? Are you doing what this book says, you see? If you're not, then you're opposing yourself. You know, people outside of Christ expect you and need you to live that book in your life. A lot of times we'll let worldliness come into our life. I've never seen so many churches have so much worldly lifestyles in their midst than in today's age. It's almost like Brother Greg back over in the book of Corinthians. The stuff that came out of that church. The stuff that was happening in that church. Worldly! The Bible tells you, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Amen? Be ye holy, God says, for I am holy. But as Christians, we oppose ourselves. I think when a person sees a Christian, they need to see a Christian. Amen? They don't need to see somebody who says they have Jesus in their heart and they live like the devil himself. I just don't believe it. God doesn't either, because I've studied His Word. You know, worldliness separates us from God. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 59. It separates, our sin separates us from God. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, Romans chapter 8, verse 5 and 6 tells us that sin separates us from the love of God. It separates our fellowship. My friends, today, people are expecting us as Christians to actually live like Christians. I know this is the football time of the year, and I don't like using a lot of different illustrations, which I do anyway. I don't like it, but I do it anyway. But anytime somebody makes a touchdown, they have to spike the ball or do some weird dance, you know? Something weird. And you know they practice in front of the mirror for hours for their time. That's what's really crazy about it if you think about it. What's refreshing is somebody that makes a touchdown and goes over and hands the ball to the ref and say, here you go. Isn't that refreshing? You think, man, that guy's not doing it for self-glory. That guy's doing it because he made a touchdown. Here, ref, so you don't have to bend over. I'm going to give you the ball. You know what's going to be refreshing for lost people in our town? Is to have people say they're Christians and they don't live any different lifestyle than the lost. But to have people that say they're Christians and they live a Christ-like life. You know what's going to cause people to get saved? is having them examine our life. Because whether you want to or not, people examine your life. And to say, you know, those people say they're Christians, but they just don't say it. They live it. I like to find out how come some people are successful. Now, if it's through crook or hook, I don't want anything to do with it. But if it's something that's legit, I want to know about it. I want part of it. Amen? If I was here today without Jesus Christ, and I saw somebody that the Lord was blessing, that they were working for the Lord, that's the God I want in my life. That's the God I have in my life because of a godly mother and a godly father. Because of godly teachers. Some of you were my Sunday school teachers. Now I am your preacher. Why? Because you are godly, just not from the Word of God, but from your lifestyle. You made a difference in my life. Christians, are you opposing yourselves? If you oppose yourselves, those outside of Jesus will never come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. Let's all stand with our head bowed and our eyes closed and no one looking around.